Hello, hello. Welcome back, listener. Welcome back to another episode of a very spoopy month of Scrollies. I am Squat Cobbler, and I am joined by my spooky co-host.
It's me, Team Ratnado, but with lots of O's, like a boo.
Yeah, it's October, everyone. You know what that means. We're officially in the spooky season. And I know some of you like to consider this pre-Christmas, but it's not. It's October. It's for Halloween. So, Earth Spell Written the Spooks. And what better way to do that than to talk about spooky things in relation to video games, kind of?
Yeah.
We did it a little bit last week. This week, we're really getting into it by covering a topic that's actually not gaming related at all, aside from these examples we're going to provide. But right, Nato, how you feeling? How you feeling about the rest of this month? You think we're in the mood? You think we're getting the spooky season underway, right?
Yeah, I think we wanted to get it started early. I know it's October now, but we had to pop it off last week just to make sure everyone was ready to go, that the pumpkin spice lattes were hot, that the jackets were washed, and that people were ready to, I don't know, wear a costume?
I'll tell you what, I know I was scared. And I'm always wearing a costume, so that's really something.
Yeah, he was wearing glasses for the last one, too, just in, like, kind of trying to do a glasses guy cosplay.
Hey, I was aping off him.
But yeah, no, I mean, these are kind of gaming related, right? What we're talking about?
Yeah, sort of. I mean, well, not across the board, but these specific ones we're talking about, yes, are gaming related. But, Ratnado, before we get into that, it's been so long since we've done this, because we've had guests so many times lately. But what have you been playing recently?
Oh, man. Actually, you know what? I've kind of been playing a little Fortnite with Eggie.
Ah. Well, hey, Eggie. I'm glad you were able to get him on.
Is his...
Eggie?
His microphone's still broken.
But, oh, my gosh. There's, like, wires coming out of it. Like, did Audie, like, rip it apart when he left? Eggie, just keep troubleshooting. I'm sure it'll work later in the episode.
Just shout really loud. I'm a little bit worried, though, honestly, because he didn't rip it when he left, but then we came in, like, 2 days later, and the mic was ripped, so...
Well, we really should have changed the locks, you know? That was a rookie mistake here at the Scrolly Studio. In fact, we still haven't done it, so technically anyone with a copy of the key could get in here.
Eggie, do you think you could run out? I mean, I'm sorry to put that onto you in your first, I guess, second week. But would you mind running out and replacing those locks, buddy?
Just got his license and he's hitting the road off to the hardware store. But yeah, Ratnado, Fortnite with the Eggster. How's that been? How you playing? How you comparing? Are you a good squad mate?
You know what? He was very surprised the first round because we died really quick on the first one. But the second round, I was actually doing good. And he was like, you know how to build. You got 3 kills. I've only got 1. You're carrying us. And I'm like, yeah, Eggie, I've played this game before. This isn't a thing where it's like the first time I've ever played it. Yo, shout out to my friend Erica, Chandersons, my old crew, even Moose Mitch. Shout out to the old squad. I haven't seen them in a while, but hopefully for spooky season, I can get them back on too and playing, because Fortnite is always fun around scary times.
Indeed. You know, I think you just mastered the principle of setting expectations low and then surpassing them immensely. So good job. Good job on that.
Definitely. What about you, Squat? What you been playing?
I have been replaying a game that I played last October for Haunttober, Castlevania Symphony of the Night. I'm giving it a round 2 through Duck Station and on PS4, kind of, interchangeably. I'm going through it a lot faster this time, because I know where everything is, and I kind of know the layout of the map, and I'm using a different build this time, because that's the nice thing about Symphony of the Night. It's much more in-depth. It's kind of like RPG-like in that way. It's got, you know, it's got stats, it's got equipable items, so I'm trying a slightly different build than I had last time. I think last time I just, like, went, like, heavy on attack damage and didn't really like give much mind to defense or magic items or any of that, but I'm using familiars. I'm using ranged weapons this time, so yeah, I'm just getting to the inverted castle now, so we'll see how that build fares. But for the good last chunk of the normal castle, it was pretty hard for me to actually like get killed because I was only taking like one hit of damage for most of the enemies.
That's awesome. Hey, number one, if you ever get bored of playing Symphony of the Night Squat, I'm just throwing this out here. Let us go out this evening for pleasure. The night is still young.
You know, I read that a lot last year. I haven't read it as much this year, but I still read it sometimes. And then I wait like a whole minute for the save file to reload.
It's so fun every single time.
It just gets more fun every single time. It's like, oh man, I can't wait to, you know, fight that boss again. Another minute will pass, and then I'll be back at it.
Every 60 seconds, a minute passes in Castlevania.
Wow, that's deep, man.
Number two, hey, could you do me a favor and take your Symphony of the Night disc and put it into a CD player? Could you do that, Squat?
Yeah, let me just, here, I got my PS4, this is my PS4. It says property of Plaidman 86.
Oh!
This is Plaidman's PS4. Wait, why is Symphony of the Night on here? I thought he owned it on disc! What the heck, yeah. Plaid?
Have we been lied to?
Yeah, I guess I can't play it on my CD player anymore, because there's a bonus track, if any of you have the original Symphony of the Night CD from the PlayStation 1. You can put it in a CD player, and Alucard will say this.
As you can see, this is a PlayStation black disc. Cut number one contains computer data, so please don't play it. But you probably won't listen to me anyway, will you?
And there it is.
And then a funky beetle will play, which you'll be playing right now. So that's pretty cool. It's too bad Bloody Tears wasn't in the PlayStation version. It was only on the Sega Saturn, which no one likes playing on because it was poorly optimized. But hey, what can you do, right?
I mean, I can't do anything about it.
I certainly can't do anything about it. I've never owned a Sega console in my life, Vlad. I just own your PlayStation now. PS4.
You could send a message into the future, just saying, maybe.
I'll write it down somewhere. Maybe I'll see it and it'll change history.
Squat writes down Bloody Tears Sega? ? And that's it. Someone's like, huh, I guess we should put it in Sega. That was the loop the whole time.
Exactly. I created my own displeasure. Ugh, for shame.
all because of bad note taking.
Yeah, Symphony of the Night's pretty great. Haven't played as much as Super Metroid naturally, because I've played Super Metroid a ton, and this is only my second playthrough of Symphony of the Night. But they're both the forefather and mother of the Metroidvania genre as we know it today, and it takes a lot of elements from both, but in different ways. So give each of them a shot if you are into that, folks. Anyway, Ratnado, we're talking about something that's, like we said, not exactly video game related, but we're talking about video game related ARGs. You may be a little more familiar with the term creepypasta, which also sort of relates to this thing.
Yeah, I have heard the word creepypasta. I understand what an ARG is, but I've never heard it applied specifically to this Squat Cobbler.
You're not always going to have a creepypasta be an ARG, but I think a lot of ARGs are creepypastas. Especially when we're talking about this kind of thing, which is creepypastas based on video games.
Awesome. Yes, that is very accurate.
Yeah, a lot of creepypastas, especially from back in the heyday. You could say that creepypastas really had their huge initial push in the late 2000s, early 2010s, maybe. A lot of them related to video games of the era and before. A really popular one, I'm sure you and many others have heard of, is the Ben Drowned creepypasta?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Relating to Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask, which, as we know, is a game on the N64. But a lot of people, I think, see it as a scary game. I think it has, like, maybe a couple scary elements, but no more than most other Zeldas. It's really more of a sad game than anything.
Well, I mean, hey, Halloween and scary times can be sad, so, you know.
That's all year can be sad right now. Let's not try and make Halloween special in that sense.
Oh, trust me, I know.
Oh, don't we all? Don't we all? But, you know, I think a lot of people see it as being a scary game now, and maybe that has to do with the reputation this creepypasta has given to it. For those of you that don't know, the Ben Drowned story, it basically goes, this guy goes to a yard sale and finds a haunted copy of Majora's Mask, where there's this kid named Ben who died, he drowned, and he's therefore haunting this cartridge, and through plugging it into his computer capture card and uploading it online, the ghost of the kid, who may be even a malicious demonic presence, he is now free. He is on the interwebs. He is out there, and he is watching.
Let's be careful, Squat Cobbler, not to upload anything from that into this podcast, so that Ben doesn't infect our listeners' phones and laptops and, you know, the various ways that they tune into Scrollies.
Yeah, that might open us up to a liability. So we're definitely not going to include anything from the Ben Drowned creepypasta in here. But, Ratnado, are you familiar with this one? Have you read it? Have you seen videos on it before?
Yeah, I think there was something so unique about, like, the 2010s. And, you know, I have this thing where I got back from Guatemala in 2011. And suddenly everything was different in the world. And specifically, I remember reading, like, these types of things. They got super popular in the early 2010s of these types of stories. I remember at the time reading them and just being like, yeah, this is really creepy. I'm alone in a basement reading this on my laptop or sitting at the desk, and it's very believable. The ARG-ness of it all is very like, yeah, that makes sense, because there's a part of me that's like, yeah, I want to believe that this is true because this is crazy. You know, and I think maybe things have changed a little bit since then now, with so many people being data miners and being so familiar with data mining, that this kind of thing hasn't really gone on since that way, or hasn't really gone on since then. But man, they were dope. Yeah, and I definitely remember Ben Drowned. I think it was one of the third or fourth ones I'd ever read.
Yeah, the whole creepypasta community kind of operates on the protocol of, oh, you're gonna play along, you're gonna pretend like it's real, and that's kind of what you do there. So we're breaking that here on Scrollies, unfortunately, people. Sorry, it's not real. What if it was? What if Ben is out there? So that's what makes it fun. That's what makes it fun to me, anyways. To just like, oh yeah, yeah. Well, what if it was? Yeah.
I mean, at that time, though, I do remember reading some of these and being like, that's a really cool theory, and it sounds almost plausible, except for the supernatural part, which is everything.
no doubt. Now, maybe we'll talk about one that's a little less supernatural, because it has some unfortunate, very real-world ties. Slender Man and Slender the Eight Pages. Are you familiar with this one?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes, indeed. I played this game because it was a free download. Came out in 2012, I want to say. I was in high school. I remember it was like huge at the time, and that was like probably one of the first like zip file games that I downloaded and played, just because like people were talking about it. It was like a viral hit. You know, you wander around, you collect pages with like child drawings on it, and Slenderman tries to sneak up on you, and that's the game.
Yeah,
it's not very in depth, but I mean, you know, it had. I remember YouTube was really just like heavy on like Let's Plays back then, so a lot of people were playing it online on there for people to see, and Slenderman really kind of became its own thing, got a movie, arguably too late for this whole thing, and yeah, just really grew beyond this creepypasta into, I think, the mainstream. Because people see Slenderman, I think they don't really even need to know where he came from to recognize, like, oh yeah, that's what this guy is.
Question, do you remember, like, I mean, I guess this is me asking about your experience with it, because I don't remember anything, and then I remember it just being huge, and everyone kind of understanding, like, oh yeah, Slender Man, everyone knows Slender Man. And I'm like, I don't, like, the first experience I had with it was, I think, even just, like, watching PewDiePie. I think he had his Let's Play up there. The first time I ever heard of Slender Man, first time I ever heard of PewDiePie.
Yeah. I think it might have been around on, like, some forums, like, Photoshopped images, like, Slenderman. But I don't really think that he rose to prominence within the creepypasta, like, world until the game came out. And then after the game, there's just, like, all these clones, and there was all these attenuations. I think even, if I remember right, Slender was just the original name of it. It wasn't even the 8 pages. They added that later to differentiate it from all the clones, but... Yeah, Slenderman. I mean, hey, he's got a pretty iconic look. It's just a tall, lanky guy in a suit without a face, so pretty recognizable.
Yeah, I think. I remember being like, "Is this like based on some folklore or something?" I mean, it is definitely creepy, and I remember that's when like I was new to Reddit at the time, and there was just like these pictures, and I remember being like. Freaked out and actually like, this is pretty scary, like this is creeping me out. Now it's like a meme and I'm like, oh, it's Slender Man stuff, that's not scary, but at the time it definitely was.
Nothing scarier than a 3-piece suit, I'm telling you.
Oh man, I definitely have stayed in a job way too long just because I get to wear joggers every day.
that's the only real benefit you need.
Yeah, no, I think that it was so cool. There's a lot of stuff like that, and I do miss it a little bit. I kind of wish that it was continuing on this type of thing, because I have like really good memories of the time of being like, people are really analyzing stuff a lot, like if you know things like Herobrine, Fallout 3 Numbers Station, and Gary's Raticate. Those are the ones that kind of like always come to my mind. Those were like the first ones I ever got into. I don't know if you ever heard of any of those, Squat Cobbler.
I have. Do we want to talk about some of those?
Let's pick one, your choice.
Let's talk about Herobrine.
Yeah, you know that one. Of course Squat Cobbler knows Herobrine.
So I am a basic, I know. We all know. We all know it.
Stoofers.
Yeah, when Minecraft was getting big, I think it was just kind of tied to it. In fact, I think even the devs started to kind of like make some wink winks to Herobrine. He looks like Steve, but he has white eyes, and he's hiding in your game. And he builds, I think he like builds little structures, and it's like, you'll never like catch him like in the act, but you're always like, oh, what is that him like way off in the distance? Because this might have even been like before Minecraft was like super multiplayer. So it was basically a single-player game when Herobrine, I think, started being talked about and referenced. And, the devs would include in patch notes at the very bottom, like, removed Herobrine for a number of years. I remember that being something funny.
Yeah. I think, too, that might even be related to the beginning of, like, how Minecraft used to run, where your draw distance maybe wasn't very far. And that was part of it, of like, oh, he's always just on the edge of your draw distance, watching you, sneaking around, looking at you. And there's like a whole lore behind it. And, I haven't really followed it, but I do remember reading about that. And like you said, it's such a cool concept just to like live in that feeling for a minute and be like, yo, what if Minecraft was haunted and there was just somebody there? Not, you know, you do everything you can to get rid of them, but they just keep coming back.
People love an evil version of a character, whether it's Dark Link or Sonic EXE. This one I'm actually not super familiar with, but I feel like its prominence leads us to mandate discussing it. Kind of the same thing as Bendrown, but a lot simpler. Some guy gets like a CD. It's got like some Sonic game on it, but it's like a corrupted, like evil version of it. And Sonic EXE is like evil Dark Sonic.
Yeah.
It's a neat design. He's got like red eyes and like bloody tears. Hey, bloody tears? Not that kind of bloody tears. Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't really strike it for me the same way that a lot of other ones do, but it's popular for a reason, I guess. People know it.
Yeah, I think a lot of people jump into this, and it's like there seem to be a lot of like versions of kind of the same thing, I mean, Herobrine, like, they all kind of eventually start to kind of feel the same. I remember, I think the first one ever that I ever read about was Pokemon Black, which is just about, you know, how people make ROM hacks of stuff. Some guy, it's a lot like Ben Drown. Again, they all kind of start to sound the same. This guy, he goes to a garage sale, he's poking through all the games they have, and he, like, finds this cartridge, just black cartridge, black label, all it says is Pokemon, no art, no nothing else on it. And he takes it home, and just weird things starts happening. The game is just, like, really creepy. I think even in the end, it just kind of doesn't really go anywhere. But I remember being like, oh, man, what if I got that cartridge and I put it in my Game Boy? And then I'd be scared. And, like, you know, a younger rat who was just more willing to, like, go along for the ride.
Well, Nintendo's must have been such big fans of this creepypasta that they actually made Pokemon Black. So that all of us could haunt our Game Boys, or our DSs, I guess, is when it came out on. So, yeah, a lot of those, like, evil versions of characters, I mean, those aren't really anything too special at this point. They're a dime a dozen. Some of them, you know, have iconic designs, so they stick out a little more than others. But maybe an entire paranormal game? Like, oh. Polybius?
Wow! Yes, I'm very familiar with this one. Polybius is just kind of like, it was a story, and I think it probably came out around the same time as all this other stuff started, of just, I think a little bit even like Mandela effect, where people will be like, yeah, do you remember that game Polybius? Some people will be like, yeah, I remember that, yeah, or it kind of starts with like showing the picture of it or something like that, because full disclosure, I think maybe there is some Mandela effect stuff going on, maybe, but not most of the stuff that people say. Most of it is just people misremembering things, and it was kind of just like this whole thing where everyone was saying, like, yeah, this game showed up for a short amount of time in a specific place, Oregon, Portland, Oregon, and everyone loves it so much. Everyone wants to play it. They can't stop playing it. But, like, it's like this government game that's been set up to, like, do all these devious things, you know, learning about addiction or whatever, and, like, this idea that, you know, oh, the government, the video games, they're bad for you, and the government's just trying to do things with your brain, basically.
Well, hey, they can leave my brain alone. I'm doing enough stuff with my brain. I don't need anyone else doing anything with it.
I need that for Final Fantasy 14.
Yeah, I need it for the numbers games. It hurts my head. Yeah, Polybius, I think that's a little more unique of a creepypasta or of a, you know, an urban legend, because it's just generic enough, you know, of a title. And I think there's even, like, you know, supposed screenshots from it that you can be like, oh, yeah, you know, I might remember something like that, seeing it. So that helps it spread, because it's like, you know, it doesn't stick. It sticks to memory enough, but it doesn't become so unique that you're like, oh, yeah, I definitely would have seen that or not.
Yeah. Yeah, it lives on that space of, like, maybe. Kind of in the same way that the Back Rooms, is that what it's called? It's kind of, like, similar to that, a little bit of, like, just, like, kind of a little bit at the edge of making you question things and be like, huh, that's a weird concept. It makes me feel weird.
Yeah, the creepypastas, I think tying them to video games has the added effect of sort of tying into maybe, like, childhood memories, because with a lot of games, you might remember it a certain way, you know, fondly. You might remember it, like, poorly. But a lot of people can look back and say, oh, yeah, you know, I remember this. So to have a spooky association tied with that, it kind of, like, brings maybe some childhood, like, fears to the surface. Because you're like, oh, man, what if when I was a kid, like, you know, I found this game, or, you know, this thing happened to me in this game. And it would have totally like screwed me up, and you know, I would have been like traumatized for life. So maybe that's part of the reason behind it. I think associating something familiar with a creepypasta helps to make it a little more accessible. And yeah. I love just the entire, like, genre of creepypastas. I love you know, suspend my disbelief to say, oh yeah, you know, this totally is real. What if, you know, what if there is something in the woods and it's watching? But having them tied to video games, I think is it brings its own unique flavor to them, and that's what makes them fun.
I think that's kind of the only flavor of them that I really like. Here's the thing: I have tried a lot of, like, creepypasta, ARG, these types of things. I've tried doing them, like, No Sleep and stuff like that, and they're just too wordy. to me, they're too explanatory to be scary, if that makes sense.
Yeah, anyone can post on a forum, not anyone can write a good story. This is the unfortunate truth. So, yeah, some of them, I mean, I definitely recommend some top-tier ones, but yeah, as far as the video game ones go, I think Been Drowned is probably the pinnacle in my mind. You know, as far as, like, maybe cultural effects, Slender Man. But, yeah, I think it's just as far as a story... as far as a story goes, Been Drowned is it doesn't go on too long, and it's, you know, it starts out simple and it gets more and more complex and creepy as it goes. So that's the one I'd recommend checking out if any of you guys want to start delving into this world yourself. But new ones pop up every now and then. I feel like a little less so lately than 10 years ago or before, but it just kind of depends on whatever you know people sink their teeth into that gets to the popularity to actually continue and to maybe even conclude.
Yeah. I think the other two we're talking about, Fallout 3 Numbering Station, is like in 2010 I was a really big fan of Fallout New Vegas, or you know, whenever it had come out, and Fallout 3 afterwards was kind of similar. And as a person who likes to read conspiracy theory stuff, and I'm talking the pre, you know, the 2010s version of what it meant to be a conspiracy theorist. A lot of that kind of stuff is so interesting to me because it does get into like this kind of like, oh, you know, the Russians this and paranormal this and that and so on and so forth. And Fallout 3, a big part of that is that like there's radio stations. And so it was very accessible, very believable for people to imagine in Fallout 3 you're running along and something happens, whatever happens, and suddenly the idea of like this actual thing that happens, these Russian radio stations that just, you know, they'll come on with this like really cheery music and they'll just start saying you know, random numbers, saying random sentences. And even that idea I think is now so common with people. They understand it from things like Captain America, Winter Soldier, you know, like that kind of like idea of MK Ultra control and triggers and
sleeper agents.
People kind of have an understanding of what that is, and you know, even then, of just like the whole concept that there are actual number stations, and then that it's in the game. You know, how did this get in there? What does this mean? What are the implications of this? Even in the Fallout universe, to me, was just amazing. The last one is, it's not so much a creepypasta so much as like everyone got really in depth with analyzing things. So Gary's Radicate, I don't know if you've ever read that one.
Does that have to do with Gary's Mod?
No, this is Pokemon.
Oh, okay, no, I haven't heard of it then.
So it's more of a theory than a creepypasta or like, you know, whatever. In Pokemon Red and Blue, your rival Gary or Blue, absolutely, or whatever you ended up naming him.
Worst things that we can't repeat on Scrollies, I'm sure.
He has, at the start of the game, when he starts off, he gets his starter Pokemon, but then every time you fight him after that, he's got like a Rattata, a Raticate, you know, it evolves into a Raticate, and he has that in his lineup up until you fight him this one time on a ship, mm-hmm, and you beat him, and then the next time you see him is in like the ghost town, Lavender City, and
yes.
And so the theory goes that like you killed his Raticate, he wasn't able to get his Raticate to help. And so, you know, it just goes into this analysis of like, yeah, Gary, his favorite Raticate died. You basically tortured Gary this whole time. He finally makes it into the Pokemon champions, and he barely makes it. And then you come and you knock him out like right after he gets it, and how you just like, as the player, you ruin Gary's life.
Are we the baddies?
So I just think it's a very unique genre. It's very cool. I feel like I haven't seen anything in a long time, but I did like those.
Yeah, I think a lot of the, I guess, audience for that has kind of transitioned to the quote unquote true horror, and horror narrators on YouTube and platforms like that, because, you know, you put true in any title and people are going to be more likely to click it. And these creepypastas, it's kind of known that they're fake, so people just kind of suspend their disbelief. But when you claim it's true, it's like, oh, well, maybe it is actually true. You don't know. So yeah, I think that's kind of where a lot of this is coming out of now. But you know, we still have the originals. We still have the old ones from back in the day. And, you know, every now and then I'm sure a new one comes up that's worthy of being added to the repertoire of the best ones. So,
the Pantheon.
I dig them. I don't know about you, listener. If you like creepypastas, let us know. Send us some of your favorite ones. Tell us in a 5-star review. Or, hey, put it in the Discord.
And I'm going to say, if you're real tough, put on an extended version of the Lavender Town theme from Pokemon Red. Go in a dark room and read one of these. And see if that gets your heart racing.
Ooh. Yeah, Scrollies is not liable for any effects of Lavender Town being played while reading Creepypasta. I know I wouldn't do it. I'm too scared. Anyway, that'll be it for today's episode, everyone. Looking forward to bringing you some more spoopy times this October here on Scrollies. We'll be back with some more content next week. And it'll all be leading up to something big on Halloween night. So look forward to that. We'll reveal more as the month goes on. But I've been Squat Cobbler of the Scrollies podcast, and I'm joined by my co-host.
It's me, Ratnado.
And we will catch you next week. Goodbye. Woo!